From iAfrican Media, this is iAfrican Bites, a podcast that features commentary on African news, insights, opinions, and analysis with tech industry leaders and professionals. The podcasts are from interviews conducted by the iAfrican team, whether at events or when needed for commentary. I'm Badawun Kotsokwane, host and editor-in-chief for iAfrican.com, spelled www.iafrican.com.
The Information Regulator, South Africa's statutory body tasked with monitoring and enforcing protection standards on both public and private information, issued an infringement notice to the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development for failing to secure the personal information of over 250,000 officials and non-officials. Following the receipt of the enforcement notice, the Department of Justice had 31 days to show the regulator that its licenses for its trained antivirus, security information and event management system, and its intrusion detection system. Having written an article on the subject, Lucien Pierce of PPM Attorneys argues that the 5 million rand fine is not proportional to the harm that the Justice Department's incompetence has created. Lucien joins us in this episode of iAfrican Bites to provide a legal analysis and understanding on the regulator's decision. He also further explains his point on why the 5 million rand fine is not proportional and adequate. Lucien, thank you so much for joining us on iAfrican.com. It's always good to talk to you. Lucien, you wrote a very insightful article on LinkedIn. This now in relation to the fine imposed by the regulator, information regulator on the Department of Justice. Now, you spoke about the Department of Justice's own goals, how, you know, they self-inflicted their own goals. And you said something very interesting. You said it's not necessarily the fact that, you know, there was a breach in terms of data. The own goal was linked to the failure in respecting the authority of the information regulator. Can you speak more about that?
Badawun, it's great to talk to you again. We always discuss these really exciting and interesting topics. And of course, I'd be very pleased to expand on what I said in the article. So perhaps what is significant is to understand that the information regulator is affiliated to the Department of Justice. It's an entity that falls under the Department of Justice.
Yes.
Now, you'll remember that the Department of Justice had a breach. And what happened before that was that the information regulator issued an enforcement notice. You might remember that. Now, an enforcement notice is essentially a document that says, look, we've investigated and these are our findings and this is what you need to do, Department of Justice, to remedy this. And the essence of what needed to be done was certain employees needed to be disciplined. And certain software, if I can just use a colloquial term, the licenses for the Department of Justice's antivirus, I'll just use that very generic term, needed to be renewed and implemented. That was all that was required at that point in time, and they were afforded a certain number of days to do that. They didn't. So, of course, what does the information regulator read into this? If I was the information regulator, my interpretation would be, well, they're just not respecting us and they're not respecting the law. So of course, what the information regulator did was to then issue a 5 million rand administrative fine. It's quite a hefty fine. The maximum fine is 10 million rand. So that was the fine that was issued. Now you ask why did I mention that this is significant? Well, as a country that is promoting ourselves as a destination or as an information economy. In other words, we will be able to assist private sector and potentially also public sector entities insofar as processing personal information is concerned. So if I turn that into a practical example, foreign countries would be most willing to send their personal information for us to operate perhaps business process outsourcing call centers here in South Africa, because they would be confident that information they get is secure. Now, when the very entity that is tasked with looking after this law, i.e. the Department of Justice, demonstrates that it is not going to respect this law, what confidence does that give foreign companies, private sector companies, and potentially also foreign governments who might want to set up and bring their information here that we can use to boost our economy? Because if you think about it, call centers employ lots of people. Data centers employ people. Now, if we're discouraging people from bringing that type of investment here, that is a major own goal for the country.
Now, Lucien, I just want to pick on that because you did mention, I mean, the fact that the information regulator and the Department of Justice are intertwined, so to say, you know, in terms of authority and jurisdiction. And just so you know, how I know in the past, the information regulator's website was hosted on Department of Justice service, right? Just expressing that. So do you not think, you know, the fact that the information regulator can even find its own sister agency is a good thing to show the regulator's independence, in order to inspire confidence from that, you know, perspective?
So that's precisely why the information regulator has taken that step, in my opinion. It's demonstrating that no matter who you are, you are required to comply with the law, and if you don't, there will be consequences. So notwithstanding that this is another government agency to which the information regulator is affiliated, it's demonstrating that it is totally independent, it is fearless, and it will do what is necessary to enforce the law. Now, that in itself is a really positive sign for anyone looking from outside in, because if they're able to see that this information regulator is not going to, I'll use the term, bow down to any other government agency, it is going to stand up and enforce what is within its jurisdiction. So in my view, that gives, it still gives external potential investors and other governments the cue that they can bring their information here with confidence. And that it will be looked after by this agency. It's just that we need the support of every other government department to demonstrate that we respect the law and that we will enforce the law. So I'm hoping that this particular incident will spur on all other government departments and all other entities to demonstrate compliance. And what that then does is it benefits us as a country, because we become a destination that is known for respecting privacy, for respecting data. And when it comes to the information economy, we're likely to benefit from that.
Lucien, you argue that the 5 million rand administrative fee fine that was imposed by the regulator on the Department of Justice is not the indication of the true cost of the breach or the lack of, you know, compliance on the aspect. Now, I want to know from your perspective, what would be a proportional amount, taking consideration, non-compliance and the damage that it's caused?
My view is that 5 million is certainly not enough. I would have implemented the maximum fine, but the information regulator has seen fit not to go that route. Typically, when a fine is considered, a number of factors are taken into account. For example, the nature of the personal information, the duration or extent of the contravention, in other words, how long that was taking place, the number of people, data subjects, as we call them, that were affected, and also whether this raises issues of public importance. Now, if you look at the Department of Justice, what happened was estates that were due to be wound up, deceased estates, could not be finalized. So beneficiaries and heirs could not potentially access funds to keep them going throughout this process. Anybody who was perhaps subject to maintenance or maintenance payments in accordance or ordered by the courts, that would have been impacted as well. So miners might not be have been receiving the maintenance that they were entitled to that might have been ordered by the courts. So you can see this would have had a major impact on many people and would have been of significant public importance. So I think the Department of Justice got off relatively lightly. But as to the broader and unseen costs, for me, this discourages investment by foreign investors. And if you discourage investment, what are you doing? You're discouraging companies from setting up here. And when companies set up here, what do? They create jobs. So the reality is that this a very relaxed attitude by the Department of Justice is having far bigger implications than just the 5 million rand fine that we as the taxpayers in any event have to pay.
Lucian, but one would argue that, you know, for other tech companies, they might say, okay, in South Africa, fines aren't that, you know, aren't that expensive, or rather penalties aren't that, you know, punitive. Other companies might look at that as, you know, as an attractive thing. So not that it is, I'm not saying, you know, we promote that, but what I'm saying is that it would encourage sort of a culture to say that if I do get caught with my pants down, the fines aren't that bad. Do you think that element signifies that, or that's just a narrative that we should not be looking at all?
So yes, you certainly could see foreign investors and organizations that have lower respect for privacy and similar rights seeing this as an attractive destination. The question is, do you want to invite those types of investors? Those who have a huge respect for privacy rights typically would come from a jurisdiction where in their own country, they have very severe penalties, probably have very strict laws governing privacy. For example, one of our biggest trading partners is Europe. Now, a European company is going to be very discouraged from setting up in a country that has low privacy rights or poor privacy laws, particularly if that company is going to be bringing sensitive information into South Africa. The reason they would be discouraged is because in their own country, if there is a breach and if somehow it breaches their own laws, take the General Data Protection Regulation, which is the privacy law in the EU, that has major financial consequences. It's 44% of a company's global turnover, or 20 million, if I remember correctly, whichever is lesser. So there are major implications for them.
Lucian, apart from the compliance cost and the economic cost that you just, you know, outlined, another sort of cost aspect a lot of us don't think about is the public relations cost. And you make mention to that. Could you share to us, you know, to what extent is this, you know, public relations cost, and how does it affect the economics and, you know, the policy trust in our country?
So as far as the PR cost is concerned, we've seen time and again, and there've been very specific speeches, for example, by our president, promoting South Africa as a destination for the information economy, for ICT, information communications and technology companies. Now, when you are marketing the country, when the president is marketing the country in that way, he's got to be able to give the assurance that anybody who's coming to invest, who places a premium on respect for law and respect for privacy rights, when you market to those sorts of people, you've got to give them the assurance that we have the laws in place that are going to protect what is important for them. Now, when you have a government department of such importance and that is at the center of protecting privacy rights, simply ignoring a law that is this important, that is not going to act as encouragement. It's not going to inspire investors to come here when that is something that they place great emphasis on. So certainly not a good PR exercise from that perspective.
You know, Lucien, I sense that I preempt a lot of civil litigation coming out of this. You know, you talked about estates and wills. I mean, in your legal, you know, understanding, do you preempt any civil litigation? And, you know, if civil litigation were to happen, what are we looking at? What are we talking about?
So you know, you're right. Civil litigation certainly is an option, and it is something that could potentially still come up, whether it's by an individual or whether it is by way of a class action suit by a firm of lawyers who might then try and track down all the people affected by this. Now, you know, even if you say 1 million people have been affected by this, and even if you get, let's say, just 10 Rand for each of those people, it's 10 million Rand. Certainly, you would be getting far more than 10 Rand. You would potentially get 100 Rand. And the reason that I use these low amounts is because typically, in instances like this, it's usually credit checks and credit insurance that a court would order for those who have been affected. So let's say it's 100 Rand per person. That's 100 million Rand in a civil claim that could arise, excluding legal fees. So there are very serious implications from a finance and civil litigation perspective.
Lucien, in closing, I'd like to get your perspective on this. This case sets precedent. I mean, Papaya is relatively a new act. These are one of the first real fines that the information regulator has imposed. How does this change the landscape in terms of Papaya compliance in the country? What tone does this set, and what are the sort of effects that might come about from this fine?
So I think that it demonstrates that the information regulator is serious about enforcing the law. It is going to act fearlessly, particularly if it is so willing to take action against an entity that it is affiliated with. So I think it will inspire confidence in the economy, in South Africa's respect for privacy laws. And I do think that there will be benefits. One of the things that we really ultimately are going to try and obtain, just to give you a bit of more privacy law background, is because the EU is a big trading partner, most countries want to try and get something that is called an adequacy qualification. What that means is that the EU looks at a country and determines whether its privacy laws are sufficiently adequate for the EU. And if that is the case, then you have the free flow of information between the EU and between a country. Now, if South Africa can achieve an adequacy qualification, if I could call it that, or an adequacy finding, then what happens is that trade and the flow of information between the two jurisdictions happens a lot easier. That means that companies in the information sector can set up in South Africa with confidence and not having to be too concerned about compliance and about privacy laws, et cetera, because South Africa is regarded as an adequate or reputable, if you want to use that word, destination as far as the respect for privacy is concerned.
Lucien, what are the options does Department of Justice have? Can they appeal this? Can they put it to review? Can they ask for a lesser amount? What options do they have?
Yeah, they can pay the fine, and that disposes of that. They can make arrangements to pay it, in other words, pay it off. They can also ask for this to be referred to court, where they will challenge it. And if they're successful, of course, they're off the hook. But if a court finds that they are indeed liable, then of course they're still in for the fine and have to pay that fine.
Lucien, thank you so much for your insights. It's always wonderful chatting to you. Lucien Pierce from PPM Attorneys. Really, 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 really appreciate your insights. Thank you so much.
Always good talking, Badang. Take care.
Thank you for listening to iAfrican Bites. Please share your feedback with us on our socials. On Twitter at iAfrican. On LinkedIn at iAfrican.com. And check out our other podcasts, The Tefo Mohapi Show, Take Legal Matters, and The Lead Creator, on all podcast streaming platforms. And also make sure to head over to www.iafrican.com. That is iafrican.com/radio. And subscribe for notifications. iAfrican Bites is an iAfrican Media original show. Produced by Nzalo Mbangana, content producer and host Madon Kotokwane, and content manager Machabe Mabunda.